I'm Tracy Ellis, and this is The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Washington State Senate Republican Caucus. Senate Republican leader appalled by Seattle teachers' blatantly anti-Semitic comments. Right to protest shouldn't include blocking airport access or spreading anti-Semitic hate, according to the state Senate Republican leader. Those are just a couple of recent headlines. What's going on? Senate Republican leader John Braun joins me now. What has compelled you to speak out on this issue?
Well, we have this continuing kind of mantra of anti-Semitic speech and protests that are happening not only in the public square, but in our classrooms, where our teachers are, at least some teachers, are trying to influence our young students. It's happening on our freeways, our highways, most recently directly in front of our major international airport, SeaTac, right here in Washington, stopping consumers, putting both drivers and the protesters at significant physical risk, and doing so in a way that's, in that case, blatantly illegal, with little or no obvious response from local government or state government to prevent this type of illegal behavior. I fully support folks' right to peacefully protest, but they don't have the right to put other drivers themselves and folks at risk. They don't have the right to block our transportation system. That's not okay.
Let's talk a little bit more about that part of it. Republicans did have a measure this year that Democrats killed in the legislature that would have addressed this blocking of roads and highways. It would have strengthened the penalties, right? And talk a little bit about that and what can be done maybe to address that part of the situation.
We had one bill that would strengthen the penalties, but I want to be clear, the activity that's going on is already illegal. We've just given law enforcement another tool to go after this. And it's really discouraging that we have, Democratic governor, Democratic majorities in both the state House and the state Senate. And they're virtually silent on this activity that's not only flies in the face of established law, they've been opposed to strengthening the law, but they won't even call out the anti-Semitic nature of the activity. Protesters, instead of taking the time to understand a very complicated and, let's be honest, imperfect situation in Israel and Gaza, they'd rather protest.
This teacher that we talked about earlier, Ian Golash, he suggested in a recent interview that Hamas's October terrorist attacks on Israeli citizens and the murder of innocent women were justified. How does that make you feel?
I'm appalled. I'm disgusted at that somehow. And I want to be clear, I'm not claiming that Israel is perfect, but to somehow justify Hamas coming across the border out of Gaza, raping, torturing, and killing over 1,200 people, and then somehow justifying that that's okay is shocking. It's unbelievable. It's hard for me to imagine anybody could believe that. It's even harder for me to imagine the people, the administrators in the school district, would tolerate that. You know, if anything remotely like this happened here in Washington or in the United States, we would be outraged, whether involved Jewish peoples or not. We would not tolerate this behavior. Wouldn't even come close. It would be unacceptable. And yet somehow they can say it's okay for Hamas to rape and torture women, children, leave over 1,200 people dead. That's okay because of their situation. Unconscionable to me. And unconscionable that more people on the left side of the political spectrum aren't speaking up against this. It's been definitely silent from leaders in the Democratic Party on this issue.
When I was in high school and we learned about the Holocaust, it was heartbreaking to me. I'm from a small town, Shelton. I didn't know any Jewish people. And then I went to work for a Jewish couple at the hometown radio station and talked to them a little bit about what the Holocaust meant to them and what kind of hate that they've faced in their lives. It seems like anti-Semitism for a long time in our country was out of style. Is it back in style now?
It's an interesting way to put it, because it does, it does seem to somehow all of a sudden be okay. And I actually think this doesn't happen by accident. What we're learning is that we have had now for some time activists at both the higher education system and increasingly in the K-12 education system doing two things. One, we're not teaching children effectively about the Holocaust and all the things that led to it and the horrors that were associated with it. And two, there appears to be a certain level of indoctrination into the Palestinian viewpoint on the situation. So they're not getting clear, honest, factual education having to do with the Holocaust or the situation in Israel and the surrounding Middle East. And it's led to increasingly, it's become somehow okay to be anti-Semitic, to say things that disparage the Jewish people or the Jewish faith. And in certain extreme cases, as we mentioned, to even somehow justify rape, torture of young women and children in the name of Hamas and the Palestinian people. That's not okay. And I'm not saying the situation in Israel and Gaza is perfect. It certainly is not. There's tragedy on both sides. But to somehow justify that it's okay to commit these terrible acts is just wrong. And that's just the things that we've been dealing with for the last 6 months, 7 months, since the attacks of October 7th. But even before that, we've seen a rise in our state and our country of anti-Semitism. And again, I believe this is the direct result of failure of our nation, of our state, of our education system to instruct children on the horrors of the Holocaust, to understand how it happened and why tolerating anti-Semitic behavior leads to terrible outcomes or has led to terrible outcomes.
Talking with Senate Republican leader John Braun, you actually had a bill that would have compelled school districts to teach about the Holocaust. What happened with that, and why do you think it did not move forward?
It was a bill, and just to give some background, it was a bill that grew out of some effort from 2019 where the Holocaust Center for the Humanities here in Washington worked with the superintendent of public instruction to come up with a very inclusive, very robust curriculum for teaching about the Holocaust. It's being used voluntarily in a number of school districts across the state. All the bill really would have done is say, hey, every school district needs to do this. Every school district needs to teach about the Holocaust, which frankly, if you'd asked me a few years ago, I would have been shocked that they didn't. I certainly learned about it when I was in the K-12 public education system. I was surprised that that wasn't part of the normal curriculum. That's all this would have done. It's very balanced, had a great program, great reviews, great speakers bureau that went with it, very inclusive, not just of the Holocaust victims and the history of the Holocaust, but also capturing other more recent genocides, helping kids to understand the horror that goes along with these incidents in our history in the effort, frankly, to prevent it. What happened with that bill is it got strong support both sides of the aisle in the Senate. And ultimately, though, some of the activists who are very opposed to the state of Israel, who have been demonstrably anti-Semitic, started to advocate very aggressively against the bill, specifically with the Democratic majorities. And in the end, the bill died for lack of support because it was turning into a bill that was not aimed at increasing understanding of the Holocaust, increasing understanding of genocide. It was a bill aimed at, you know, they were trying to shape the bill into something that was would somehow justify the actions of Hamas last year on October 7th. And it just was turning into a bill that would have been completely opposed to what the bill was intended to do.
I've heard some arguments that opposing actions by Israel, the country Israel, isn't necessarily anti-Semitic. Israel is a country. It is a Jewish state, but people are critical of the United States isn't necessarily they're critical of the majority of people who are Christian in this country. They're critical of the government. Is there a distinction to be made here between protesting against Israel, the nation, and the people of Israel?
There's certainly a distinction between opposing anti-Semitic behavior and being willing to recognize that the Israeli nation is not perfect and they have made errors. I think the idea that we somehow can't talk about Israel and the plain facts without being anti-Semitic, I think, is wrong. But that's not what we're getting. We're not getting, hey, Israel did these, you know, a balanced and fair assessment of the actions of Israel in response to October 7th and other actions. We're getting a very selected choosing of events in Israel and in Gaza that paint Israel in an entirely negative light. And as with all war, there are terrible things that are happening. But if you don't make a conscious attempt to understand the whole thing, how we got here, what's being done to prevent these type of activities, few people recognize that as a country, no one has done more in the history of warfare to prevent civilian casualties than Israel. And that's just a fact. Also, few people realize that Hamas is actively hiding among civilians for two very clear reasons. One, to make it harder to get to them. And two, so there will almost inevitably be some level of civilian casualties, and they can basically go after Israel for that. So they're not abiding any, even close to the rules of international warfare. And again, nobody wants violence there. Nobody wants a war. But we should be clear where this came from this horrific attack on Israelis on October 7th. Again, killed, over 1,200 people, including multiple instances of rape, of torture. One thing I haven't mentioned is hundreds of hostages taken, many of which are still in captivity. So, yes, absolutely, we can be critical of Israel when they make mistakes, just as we can be critical of our own nation when we make mistakes. We should do that. That's entirely appropriate. That's how we stop these types of mistakes in the future. But almost without exception, these protests are taking slices of the activity and not painting the whole picture, not explaining the whole picture, not helping people to understand a very complex situation that I think everyone would like to see come to an end. But it's got to come to an end in a way that prevents further violence in the future, prevents anti-Semitic activity in the future. And the last thing I'd say about this is, let's also be clear what many of these activists are calling for. They're not calling for, certainly in some cases they're calling for a ceasefire, but they're calling for much more than that. They're calling in many cases for the elimination of the Israeli state and all the people in it. Think about what that means. Think about if someone was calling for the elimination of the state of Washington. Nobody would accept that, regardless of what we had gotten wrong. That's an outrageous claim, one that in this case is highly anti-Semitic. So that's a long answer to your question, but yes, we can and should be critical of Israel when they get things wrong. But the answer can't be to wipe out the nation itself.
That's Senator John Braun, and this is The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast, the Washington State Senate Republican Caucus. I'm Tracy Ellis.